MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
Now, could the Democratic Alliance do what once seemed politically impossible and govern Johannesburg outright? Well-known political commentator and pollster Gareth van Onselen believes it is within reach. He argues that if the party can attract another 500,000 votes in the local government election, it could secure an outright majority, ending the era of unstable coalition politics. But one's got to ask if the maths are realistic and where would those voters come from? And if all of this happened, what would it mean for South Africa's political landscape? Gareth, a very warm welcome. Let's start with that big headline. Not the first time we've heard it. Is a DA outright majority in Johannesburg genuinely achievable, or is it more of an aspirational campaign slogan?
Okay, well, just to be clear, that's not my target. That's the DA's target. Helen Ziller argues that if the DA gets, I think it's just under 500,000 votes, in other words, individual voters who are willing to vote for the DA, they will get a 51% majority. So there are two ways to assess this. The one is to assess whether that the maths on that particular calculation are correct. And I think it is. I think if the DA does manage to get 500,000 votes, given the decline in turnout, it will be able to secure a 51% majority. The next question is, of course, is that a realistic goal, however credible it is? And I think it is probably a stretch too far for the DA. Those 500,000 voters do exist. The DA got 486,000 odd voters in 2016, and its whole narrative is that if it can replicate the 2016 environment, it'll be able to achieve them again. But things have fundamentally changed since then. Turnout has gone through the floor, which means less voters are turning up on election day, which means you're going to get a smaller total. And I think it's a bit of a stretch. But parties have to be aspirational. They have to set goals. So, you know, it's good to have something that's mathematically sound. Whether it's achievable is quite another question.
Well, let's talk about that then. Is it about persuading ANC voters to switch? Is it bringing non-voters to the polls? You've already made a good point about registration. Or is it taking support from smaller opposition parties?
So it's a bit of everything. I mean, I think the depressing truth about the DA is that even if it achieved its goal, which would be a remarkable outcome and would necessitate a fundamental change in turnout levels, which would be encouraging for everyone but seems unlikely, it would really just be returning to zero. In other words, where it was at its peak in 2016. And so its whole campaign is really fundamentally focused on getting people that are already in the DA kind of bubble to get out and vote rather than winning new voters. Now, that's not to say the DA doesn't want to win new voters. I'm sure it does, and it's pouring massive resources into it. But I think its primary concern and its fundamental drive is getting existing voters to make a mark on the day.
Are you able to break that down more geographically? Where would those DA voters actually come from? Is there paucity in some wards where the party needs to focus its attention more?
The DA has got a universal problem. Its decline in support, particularly in Johannesburg from 2016, is universal. It's across the board. So in 2016, the thing that made that election so remarkable was, on the one hand, its core support base, which seems to occupy a kind of stretch right through the middle of Johannesburg, the southern suburbs and towards the north, turned out in extraordinary numbers. So its base was highly, highly motivated. But simultaneously, it managed to get sort of 7 to 8% in places like Soweto and Alex. And both of those have declined in previous elections. So its base has reduced and its ability to win sort of, 8 or 9% in Soweto has dropped to around 4%. So it needs a universal uplift across the board of those existing voters. There's not one particular area that suffers disproportionately.
Gareth, whether it be ziplining across potholes or rowing dinghies, Helen Ziller has made the campaign a personal mission. Is she still the party's greatest electoral asset when it comes to this particular election, or do you think she still limits the party's appeal in key communities?
No, I think she is by some distance the most powerful brand in the Johannesburg election, a reputation she's built up over many years. And from a DA's perspective, there is quite an overlap between the nature of the crisis that faces Johannesburg, a fundamental decay in basics and systems and structures and infrastructure maintenance, and Helen Ziller's reputation, which is as someone who's managed in the past to be able to fix these things and turn them around. And so you have a curious situation. Maybe it's particular to the DA. I don't think it extends to particular to Joburg. I don't think it extends outside of that metro, where people who are typically opposed to Helen Ziller will say, well, we're actually willing to make the vote for the DA in this particular case because we actually don't care about ideology anymore. We just want this place to work. And so those two things have come together quite well for the DA, I think.
But where does the risk lie? What prevents the party from achieving that 500,000 votes in spite of the widespread dissatisfaction that you outline with the current administration and the problem of decay?
So the two primary problems, and they're not particular to the DA, they affect all big parties, including the ANC, is apathy and alienation. So people don't turn out on election day and vote, and fragmentation. The extent to which, 52 parties competed in the 2021 local government election in Johannesburg, which is an extraordinary number. And what's happening across the board now is the vote is fragmenting into lots of small little patches. And it's very hard, harder than it's ever been in the past, for any one big party to consolidate votes. You're fighting this huge and powerful and growing force that tends towards fragmentation.
Let's assume the Democratic Alliance falls short of 51%, but as appears potentially likely, emerges substantially stronger. Gareth, would that fundamentally change the coalition equation in Johannesburg?
Yes, I think it's a universal truth that the biggest party in a coalition, in other words, the party that ends up with the highest proportion of the vote share, does carry the most informal power in negotiations. And I'm a bit dismissive of all this rhetoric about, oh, Helen Ziller's relationships with various leaders is tenuous and stretched or divisive. I think when the election results come in, it comes with a huge amount of informal power, depending on your results. And all political leaders know that. It's very hard to dismiss a party as insignificant if it's got a huge majority, even if it's not 51%. Voters don't like that kind of anti-democratic attitude. And the real politics of it is when you sit down in a negotiation, the bigger your majority, the more powerful your negotiating power.
Just a final question. A little earlier, you used that word decay as far as Johannesburg is concerned. Fair to say that this election is going to be one on competence rather than ideology?
Yes, I think that's 100% correct. It is actually a bit of a problem because, there are two kinds of problems that face Johannesburg. The one is a sort of basics, in other words, the delivery of, picking up refuse, fixing the roads, making sure the lights are on, the kind of standard indicators you would expect any metro to deliver. And then there are far more profound problems with regards to investment, infrastructure spend, and the long-term vision for the metro. The latter is tends to be defined by a vision and a set of principles and values. The former is by competence. And I think competence has been elevated over a kind of long-term strategic vision for the metro. We need both things. Competence is very important, but these parties need to bear in mind that we also need a long-term strategy for the metro.
So much to play for. Gareth van Onselen, thank you very much indeed.